Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany, where naturally minded women gather together as we pursue simplicity and confidence in health alternatives so we can show up better in our busy lives and feel more at home in our bodies. Join your favorite home birth midwife duo for conversation, candor, and community.
You're at home with Kelly and Tiffany.
Welcome.
Welcome to episode 131.
Mm-hmm.
How to have a better first period after birth.
This is a very common question, common theme, lots of concern, lots of bracing yourself for when that ball will drop.
Yeah, there's a reel that we posted about 6 months ago that is Michael Scott like tumbling, somersaulting into an office couch. And we used that to describe what the first period of postpartum feels like.
And I'm pretty sure it was the Wrecking Ball song that was like accompanying it. And I was like, yes, this is correct.
It resonates deeply because your period, for the most part, usually comes at a time where things are feeling a little bit more stable. Post-birth, you're getting the hang of this new kiddo, taking care of it, taking care of yourself. And then your period is like, just kidding. I'm not even going to be just a normal period. I'm going to just jack you up right now.
Yeah. And remind you of the fact that like you could get pregnant again or these things didn't just like magically disappear. Usually women who had trouble with their period before, it oftentimes will sort of escalate. Sometimes it totally changes things like for the better postpartum, but oftentimes it's sort of an escalation of what was going on before if it wasn't managed.
Yes. And I think potentially there's a lot of needless suffering in that just from a lack of awareness of things that can actually be done in order to prepare, ease, treat some of the symptoms of those awful first periods.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things that we think are out of our control, but actually we do have control over them. And that feels good to be aware of, to like understand. And I feel like it makes women more empowered to manage this the best that they can.
I would say that is postpartum in a nutshell, that there is so much empowerment to be had with some healthy education and expectation. But this fits into that category.
Yes, it does. I'm excited to talk about it because I think a lot of women, this will like, you know, open the curtain and like dispel some myth.
That's going to be good for all of us. Okay, before we get going with that, I did mention recently that we have not done a music challenge. And you've just been demonstrating your musical knowledge outside of the music challenge. So it might not even be necessary to include this segment as a part of our show, except for it is deeply rewarding to me personally. And that just goes a long way, I think.
I appreciate that a random skill of mine that it is appreciated by you.
Okay, so I'm going to change the rules a little bit on this one.
Uh-oh.
It's going to be fine for you. But I started thinking, because you are so good at this, and better than the average person, right?
I don't know.
Yes, for sure. Yes, absolutely. That I want to give our listeners a chance to guess, because usually you come in with the lyrics before I can get the first line out of my mouth. And I don't think that gives the average listener a moment to even realize what lyrics I'm going for. Okay. So if this is the first time you've heard this segment, it has absolutely nothing to do with women's health. It is just for my entertainment, where I prepare a secret song and I begin speaking the lyrics, and as quickly as possible, Kelly fills in the lyrics and jumps in with the rest of that verse. And so now I'm asking her to just slow down a little bit. Let me say one or two entire verses, and then if you've got it, then you can take it from there, okay?
I will hold back and use all of my self-control.
Okay, here we go. If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be we're all okay.
Oh, she doesn't know it, folks.
And not to worry, because worry is wasteful and useless in times like these.
Oh, I can hear it.
I won't be made useless, won't be idle to despair, will gather myself around my faith.
Keep going.
For light does the darkness most fear.
I hear it in my head and I can't get it out.
My hands are small, I know.
Oh.
But.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Jewel. Right?
Yeah.
My. But they're mine, not yours.
Hold yeah.
Yes, yes, okay.
But they're not yours, they are my own.
Okay.
But they're not yours, they are my own.
I can't do it.
Oh, dude, this is. We got her, you guys.
I remember listening to this on a repeat in what, like, sixth grade or something, seventh grade. And I think that if the song was like in the background, I could easily sing it.
You could move forward.
Yes, yes, yes.
Man.
My hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100 times.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know. I was feeling kind of moody yesterday. And I put this entire album on just out of the blue. I don't even know. I think I just had one of these songs stuck in my head. So I was like, hey, girls, want to hear something ridiculous? I know all of the words to this album. And it was so perfect and moody and great.
Oh, it's so perfectly angsty. Like, it's so wonderful for, like, tween teen feelings. I remember when it came out just being like, yes, this is exactly how I feel. Even though I did not have complicated emotions like she did. There was one song, now I'm forgetting which one it is. It wasn't Who Will Save Your Soul, but it was one of those that I played over and over again. Then it was like, this describes my feelings for this boy. I'm like, no, wait, no, it didn't.
Yeah, we don't know what those feelings are.
No.
No, but they were there.
They're big.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, my kids aren't really impressed. They're kind of like, okay,
great.
That's nice.
Oh, she was the jam.
Yeah, she was so great. And remember, like, she had this whole story where she was homeless and then discovered and then not homeless anymore.
Yeah. And then she went on like the Joe Rogan podcast recently and then she got like a bunch of hate for like being on his podcast. And so I was always commenting on stuff that he posts. I find it funny.
Good for her.
Yeah.
It's good to be hated when you're interested in discussing topics that are, you know, taboo.
Who will save your soul?
Who will save your soul? All right, ladies, we will jump back into first periods after birth.
Yeah, it's going to take me a little while to recover from the fact that I couldn't grasp that one.
I
heard it in my head and I just could not get it.
I'm so excited that we nailed one.
Yeah, good job.
And it wasn't even that obscure. I've given you more obscure ones that you have just jumped on.
100%.
I'm going to take some time to process this, I think.
I think that if we were to turn it on right now, I could sing every lyric.
Kelly, I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure that you could pull it together with some more help.
Okay, fine.
But that's not the that's not what this game is.
No, we can move on.
Okay, four tools that you actually have, ladies, to balance hormones when you aren't menstruating. So there's a myth out there that, like, you can't track your cycle. You can't actually know where your hormones are at if you aren't menstruating. And this can go for postpartum. This can go for women who have irregular cycles. This can go for even just in pregnancy. These are things that you can do. So number one is focus on fat and protein. And you hear us harping on this over and over again because this is what your body actually uses in order to stabilize and metabolize your hormones. You need adequate amounts of good food. Number two is add trace minerals and electrolytes. Because of our modern diet, we are not getting the types of minerals that we need in our diet regularly. And therefore, having the minerals as supplementation, if you're not engaging in recommended fruits and vegetables and, you know, bone broth, etc., then you're going to want to add those in. Your body requires them to stabilize hormone production for you. Number three, supporting your detox pathways. This includes sweating, pooping every single day, moving your limbs, multiple areas of supporting detox that helps the excess hormone buildup get out. We have a lot of other podcasts and information on that. I will link in the show notes for you. And then last, protect your sleep whenever possible, which feels crazy to think that that needs to be a priority in postpartum because it is so out of your control. However, just because your newborn is waking or just because your baby is still nursing overnight does not mean that there's not many, many ways to bring in more support for good sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are all things that you can actually just do today that don't cost a ton of money either. And like you said, in any season, this can be useful. But taking a step back, especially postpartum, when your job is so overwhelmingly in your face that like you are to care for this tiny child, it's really hard to make yourself any kind of priority and make the support of your body any kind of priority. So even if you can't really find it to do it for yourself in this season, imagine doing these things and stepping into sort of the type of mother, the present mother, the engaged mother that you want to be. All four of those things will absolutely help you show up in different ways. And so even though we think, yes, you should do this for yourself, you are worth doing that. Sometimes it takes, especially newly postpartum moms, a while to get back to that place. So even if you have to put that in your brain of like, okay, well, yes, I can just do this for my baby instead, right? That's a worthy endeavor for sure.
Okay, so as we talk about that first postpartum period, that is going to be different for every woman that when it comes along. Starting right off the bat, I want to address the type of bleeding that is really early postpartum that happens in the first couple months that many women confuse for their period when in fact, it's just additional postpartum bleeding.
Yeah, we often get, well, we actually prep our clients, but we'll often get like text messages like, I remember you said this. I just want to confirm, right? Around like 6 to 8 weeks or so, even as much up to 12, but usually it's a bit closer to that like 8, maybe 10 week mark. It is not uncommon for there to be bleeding that happens. So some kind of breakthrough bleeding that doesn't necessarily mean that your period is back or that something is wrong. We kind of liken it to like if you were to get some kind of cut on your leg, right? Eventually it turns into a scab, right? And then you're sort of like, okay, I'm just like watching this scab get healthier, get better, whatever. And eventually it sort of like, for lack of a better word, it kind of sloughs off, which is a gross, I don't like that word, but it does. It's kind of sloughs off, right? Eventually. And you're like, oh, look at that new happy skin underneath, right? That is happening inside of your uterus. So as the placenta site heals up, there is oftentimes, and if you don't have this, it doesn't necessarily mean something is wrong, but it's not uncommon for women to experience sort of that sloughing off of the placenta implant site around that time. And so usually it's like a day or two of bleeding and it sort of goes away and you're sort of left confused of like what actually just happened. But that is the most common reason that something like that would happen.
Yeah. And so for our own clients who are like, well, actually, this kind of lasted like 4 days. It really felt like a period. I had a little bit of cramping. It was like heavy for one of those days. Like it really felt like a period. Then we say, well, let's just watch your cycle and see if you're going to start menstruating this early, especially for those women who are pretty exclusively breastfeeding. Then you're going to have another period relatively soon if that's what your body wants to do. And then most women don't. It really just ends up being this placenta scab situation. But a couple other things about bleeding postpartum. If it is a lot, check in with your care provider because abnormal bleeding can be retained placenta or some other birth fragment that needs attention, right? So if you have a sense that it's really abnormal and it's not probably not your period, then check in with your provider. And something that can kind of like ease off that tapering for women, especially who are experiencing stop and start bleeding for multiple weeks. I mean, an average postpartum woman should bleed for like 4 to 6 weeks. the less you do and the more serious you take your recovery, the shorter that bleeding period will be. Some women don't have a choice in being able to take it as easy as they want to. And so sometimes 6, 7, 8 weeks come along and there's still a little bit of spotting and stuff, in which case we recommend cramp bark tincture. So that's something you can keep in your back pocket as a way to kind of just help your body finish that last little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like a part of postpartum periods and talking about bleeding or not bleeding is the fact that it is very normal and very common to not get your period back right away. So as we're talking about 6 weeks, 10 weeks, that is actually a very short amount of time. We do get questions about like, gosh, it's been 3 months. I haven't had my period yet. Am I okay? Yes, it is very, very common, especially if you are breastfeeding. And so there's something called lactation amenorrhea, which is like, that word basically means like no period. So while you're lactating, the decrease of the potential of menstruating during that time. It is most common that it's under like 6 months or under and your period hasn't returned. Most likely you're just exclusively breastfeeding. You're not using pacifiers, not going any longer than 6 hours without nursing. A lot of women will use that actually as like a birth control method, following that very exclusively, not using bottles, not doing solids yet, keeping your baby with you, nursing very, very often. So despite the fact that your baby may go a handful of hours overnight sleeping, sometimes that makes women like, oh my goodness, thank God I can finally sleep, right? But then there's also the side, the kind of the flip side of, oh, okay, that does potentially encourage fertility to return because your body's like, oh, you're getting sleep now. Sleep is so important to us. And now we think you're ready for another one, right? And I guess a caveat for that too is you may be doing all of those things and 2 months postpartum, your period comes back like clockwork, right? And so there's no real rhyme or reason to exactly what your body is going to do. We don't know, especially if you haven't had a baby before or you don't know what your sort of postpartum pattern has looked like. We don't know who you're going to be postpartum. I was one of those people who nursed like once a day my toddler and still didn't get a period for like a couple of years, which is crazy.
Yeah. And some women would really welcome that in their lives, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So if you follow these, you know, bullet points of using lactation amenorrhea as a form of birth control for the first 6 months, it's like a 99% efficacy rate if you are exclusively breastfeeding and no long stretches, like more than 6 hours in a 24-hour period, and something extremely uncommon, which is like no pacifiers, no bottles of, you know, even breast milk, of course. So the idea is that your breasts are getting stimulated so often that your prolactin levels are staying high enough to suppress estrogen. And everybody's body is a little bit different in their progesterone or their prolactin and estrogen dance. And you know, who doesn't use a pacifier at some point in the first 6 months in general, right? I mean, potentially a little bit unrealistic.
Yes, for sure. But, you know, it's an option that's out there. And I feel like that's important to keep in your back pocket, especially as either you're in your postpartum or you're prepping for it as well.
Most women are going to start to see the signs of their period returning around 3 to 6 months, whether you're exclusively breastfeeding or not. Again, that spectrum is so wide. Some women are going to get their periods back exclusively breastfeeding at 2 months. Some women are going to not get their period back. Like you guys heard us talk about a couple episodes ago or last episode, they can't even get a period back just to get pregnant again 3 years after. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had a baby because they're still breastfeeding. So there's a huge range, but the average is about 3 to 6 months, depending on your own biology, your breastfeeding rhythms. I'll remind you, ladies, that at month 3, that is when your reproductive hormones return, regardless of what you're doing with breastfeeding. Your estrogen and progesterone do begin to resume their pre-pregnancy levels, whether that means that you're going to be getting enough of an estrogen boost to cause ovulation and your period coming back is one thing, but they do really start to begin stirring for everybody. And around month 6 and beyond is when your cycle is starting to enjoy the rhythms of reproductive hormones being in circulation again. And prolactin just naturally decreases because you're starting to feed your baby solids, you're going longer stretches between feeding your baby, and estrogen then, of course, gets its turn to jump in, cause ovulation peak, and brings your menstrual cycle back. Potentially only once that year, or every single 28 days from that moment forward, or every 3 or 4 months, or right? Like, so postpartum periods in general are just a time of irregularity across the board, which can be really frustrating for women.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk a bit about some of these pieces, but I think that a lot of women are like, well, I'll wait for my period to come back to start tracking some of those pieces, but it's worth it right now in this moment to actually do so. I think part of that, whether it's your 3 months postpartum or your, you know, a year out, postpartum periods, the most common feedback that we get, they just tend to be especially more heavy. Moms are also like, gosh, I'm like feeling more crampy than I was before. It's actually messing with my daily life. Maybe your period wasn't really a problem before, but now all of a sudden you're like, dude, this is actually like messing with my day-to-day life here. And sometimes, like I mentioned before, it can be an imbalance that was already, you know, there that just kind of got exasperated by pregnancy. And sometimes something new is kicking up because of the funky sleep or the hormonal imbalances or the depletion that happens sometimes in pregnancy and breastfeeding. And so that is, you're not alone if that is your experience. But I think biologically and just anatomically, it's helpful to remember what your body just went through in being pregnant, growing a baby, and then birthing a baby. Your uterine cavity, just in and of itself, after having been stretched and grown like that beautifully, it did its amazing job, but it simply is going to be larger at this point. Yes, it, like, everything kind of involutes, comes back down to, generally speaking, you know, what it was before, but your body is not the same body that it was before. So there will be more endometrium, kind of that layer that your uterus is trying to expel during that period. And so it is not uncommon to have those experiences.
Yeah. And potentially, you know, and we'll give you guys some details on tracking your cycle before you start menstruating. But potentially, if your body has tried to get going and had some of these hormonal shifts and symptoms, but not gone full blown into another period for you, there's been a lot of things happening in your body and exchanges. And once that period finally comes and your body is able to release it, it's an accumulation of many months of not getting to that final release. In fact, some women postpartum feel like they're missing their periods because of how good it feels to finally be on the other side of that estrogen constantly building, right? And to experience a little bit of progesterone in your life. Like, that is a good hormone that we can definitely miss biologically as women.
Yeah, it makes me think of, like, you know, the couple days leading up to your period where you're just like, I know it's coming. Like, and not like, oh, woe is me, it's coming, but just like, can we just start it? Because that impending sensation just in your body, it really does feel like that's going to feel good to actually just start bleeding and be like, okay, at least like we're working through this now. That constant buildup that you may experience month after month, potentially, that makes sense why postpartum just feels off sometimes. It's like it's a big part of it.
Yeah. And so the estrogen imbalance that is often associated with difficult periods, whether it's your first postpartum one, your first pubescent one, your 400 childbearing year periods, is that being able to produce estrogen, use estrogen, and then efficiently detox estrogen is a really important part of keeping some of these symptoms at bay. So if you know that you had signs and symptoms of estrogen dominance before pregnancy, and you are in a space of waiting for your first period to come still, you're listening to this postpartum or you're listening to this pregnant, you might want to be especially mindful of supporting yourself in anticipation of that. You just have some extra risk factors involved in that being a difficult period to have. The things that you can do now are enjoy a methylated B complex and take evening primrose oil every single day. They're safe for pregnancy. They're safe, or they're safe for breastfeeding, and they are research-backed natural remedies that are going to help you with estrogen dominance in a really simple take supplement way.
Yeah. And sometimes that's what we need, right? We don't necessarily have the brain capacity in this season to like do all of the things, right? And so sometimes it is just like, put the jar in front of me and I'll take the supplement. And those are two that can be really heavy hitters for that. Yeah. So we had mentioned cycle tracking, and I think it's worth stating that even if you're not necessarily cycling, it's still worth it to open up your app or write down on a piece of paper. I feel like the apps are helpful, especially in this season, because they're asking you questions that make you stop and think about, like, how did I feel today? Did I have a headache? Was I feeling any cramping? How are my emotions, right? It just gives you a moment to actually self-reflect. And the thing is that when you know what your normal is and what your baseline has been, when you start seeing changes and signs of fertility start to pop up, you will notice right away those differences. So you can be checking your cervical mucus daily, right? Eventually you're going to be like, oh, that's actually new, right? And that's something that you may not have noticed had you not been tracking, because you weren't paying attention to what was really going on in your body. And so I think that that's a helpful piece to it for sure. Many, many women say that they can feel their body trying to ovulate. And that may not be necessarily right before their first period. Sometimes that happens a few months before your period actually comes back. And that's that same idea that your hormones are rising, right? But potentially your baby is teething that month, or they're sick or whatever. And so you're like almost getting to ovulation, but not quite yet. And those still can be signs that you're tracking and connecting with as your body is really working towards what is good and right and healthy. So yes, it does feel nice to take a break from your period just because you're like, that's one less thing to think about. But we can also reframe it and recognize that that's actually the best way for your body to function. It is a sign of vitality when your body is like, I am ready and willing to do so. So not that it's bad that you haven't gotten it back yet, but we can take that silver lining when it does.
Yeah. And just another shout out to encourage women in all walks of life to be tracking their cycle, whether they're going to use that for birth control or just body literacy. But it would be a lot easier to use this particular tool postpartum if you had some experience and time with it before you were pregnant.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's just helpful in all seasons of life, whether you're trying to get pregnant or trying to get pregnant, especially in, I don't know, postpartum, just a confusing time for sure. And you've heard us talk about this also. So sort of related to cycle tracking is the concept of cycle syncing. And that just basically is working with your body where it's at in its menstrual cycle, if it has returned. And recognizing just the fact that different parts of your menstrual cycle require different things from you, require different hormones, require different energy levels, moving in a way that honors that, eating in a way that honors that. And even if it hasn't returned, I think it's also just a helpful like piece if you are doing some of that cycle tracking and noticing some of those sort of symptoms of fertility returning, to lean into that also, because that can actually encourage what's already at play in your body.
Yeah, and just put you in touch with the process and allow you to have some tools to support yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll link the cycle syncing information in our show notes too, so that those of you who are wanting more information about that can get some resources.
Yeah, there's a little roadmap that talks about, at this point in your cycle, here's generally speaking what kind of foods to focus on, lifestyle stuff to be thinking about. And that can, if we're talking about making a period better, that is for sure one way that you can really impact change.
The next thing I want to talk about is seed cycling, not to be confused with cycle syncing or cycle tracking.
So much cycling.
So much. And so seed cycling is essentially supporting estrogen and progesterone metabolism in cycles. And that can correlate to a cycle that you create for yourself. That can correlate to an actual menstrual cycle later in your postpartum time. But we have lots of clients who continue their seed cycling throughout their pregnancy and into postpartum because they just love the rhythm of it and putting them in touch with that monthly rhythm without having a period. They still enjoy just that cyclic nature and participating in that. And so that's a great way to support hormone metabolism, especially the ones that are going to be at play as your period return. We get questions all the time like, well, if I don't have a period, how do I know when to consume what seeds at what time? And so we'll include information in the show notes. You can get your seed cycling ebook. It's going to give you all the information and a bunch of FAQs and ways to use the seeds and such. And so that would be a place to start.
Yeah, if you'd listened to this podcast for any amount of time, that's one of my favorite life lady hacks in general. But one of the most common things recommended to women postpartum who are sorting out some of these hormonal imbalances, because it is gentle yet really effective and efficient. And another thing that we haven't talked about it that much lately, I don't think, but if you've been around for any amount of time, you've probably heard us talk about vaginal steaming also. And so that is the idea. It sounds kind of bizarre, but it's the idea of sitting over boiling water with herbs added to it and allowing that steam to come up in through your vagina. The idea is that it can help the herbal like support of it, can help the tissue, can help the uterine cavity, can help the reproductive organs just in general, can support circulation. There's a bunch of like really good benefits of it. But you can start this as early as 2 days postpartum if you've had a vaginal birth, and it can really help clear out and kind of support the entire system. And that in and of itself can be really, really helpful just because it is not uncommon for certain things, not necessarily, it's not common for pieces of placenta to get stuck, but it is not uncommon for just there to be a bit of a backup there. Circulation is kind of, you know, undone because you're laying down, your body's like, what did we just do? It's focusing on other things at this point. And so that can be a really supportive aspect of healing early postpartum, but you can also bring that piece in as you are either tracking your cycle or walking towards what you feel like maybe your first cycle or your 10th, whatever it is.
Yeah. And of course, I will include that information in the show notes because that might be one of my top recommendations for women who already know that that first postpartum cycle in previous postpartum times has been really difficult for them. Postpartum vaginal steaming is going to change that game completely. There are so many great benefits.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like enjoyable. It's a nice thing to do for yourself.
It is. And a lot of our clients have really like challenged themselves to embrace that. And we've gotten to see the fruit of easier postpartum times and faster healing and better periods in your postpartum because of it. It's very cool.
I like that.
Okay, so let's talk about what you do in the moment. If you are listening to this episode and you're like, oh, that's so cute, I could have done some things to make this easier, but I'm having my postpartum period right now, what are we going to do to support the mom who is inside of that moment?
Yeah, so the idea doesn't necessarily change just because it's your first postpartum period. Other pieces of support, hormonal balancing, but also just like immediate relief stuff are going to be pretty similar, right? And so you had mentioned cramp bark earlier. That's a great one to have on hand for your first postpartum period or any period really at that point. But that can be a really soothing one for your body for sure. Anything warm is going to be really helpful as well. Like a hot water bottle or a heating pad, something like that, or those rice socks that you can like microwave lavender or something in them, right? You can use that just to be like, oh, okay, this is sort of helping my body calm down a little bit. But I think what is underrated is the idea of movement. So it doesn't need to be, because especially postpartum, right? We'd be like, oh, well, I don't want to like push my body too hard. I don't really know what to do, what not to do. It's not about like going out and getting a crazy workout in, but it's about intentionally moving your body. So walking a bit, some intentional stretching, things like that can be so, so powerful for what's going on in your body, not only because you're connecting with it, but also that really does change the game for what's going on with circulation. right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, anything that you can do to get endorphins on board and have your brain creating hormones that are going to help cover some of that discomfort for you, exercise, sweating, the bath, sex, acupuncture or acupuncture mat, those can all be really, really helpful tools to have around. And adding in some inflammation control too, either with our anti-inflammatory juice or adding in some other pieces to diet, or at least just decreasing inflammatory factors like refined and processed sugars and grains and packaged food and that kind of thing, is going to just naturally decrease the inflammation that's going to cause a lot of what your body is trying to fight against.
Yeah. And I think also just, you know, we talk about moving your body, but also recognizing too that what your body is telling you is worthy of listening to, right? So if it's particularly hard, it's okay for it to be particularly hard for you to listen to that and try to lean into like, okay, if I'm just trying to understand what my body is telling me right now, going through something hard, how would I encourage them, right? You probably wouldn't be like, well, just push through it. You'd be like, okay, well, maybe you should take the day, or maybe you should do something for yourself, right? And so just having some grace on that too.
Yeah, and like be someone who takes your own advice.
That's good.
I'm trying to be more of that person.
Yes.
We can encourage women in that too.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies, I hope there's some helpful information in here for you today. Just a reminder, next week already, on Wednesday, August 23rd, there is a postpartum hormones masterclass put on by your two favorite hosts.
That's us, in case you didn't know.
That would be Kelly and Tiffany. It's a free one-hour class on balancing hormones in the postpartum time and goes so much deeper on this particular topic and ways to support your body and excellent tools to have on board to be either planning ahead or working with what is already happening in your postpartum time. And so you can sign up for that and either see it live with us or get the replay. And we hope that you take advantage of that if you're somebody who can benefit from learning that information. It's for anybody at any point postpartum, either in pregnancy, one day postpartum, 10 years postpartum. If you are still dealing with some of these issues, we would love to see you there. Or if you find yourself feeling just off since having a baby and you have a sense that it's something hormonally going on, if you prefer more natural and holistic approaches to your health, and potentially you've brought up some of your postpartum concerns with other providers and haven't got that more holistic, natural approach that you were hoping for, this is the right class for you. If you notice some of these imbalances that were happening before pregnancy starting to creep back into your postpartum time, or you know that you struggled with things before your pregnancy and are wanting to support yourself better as your cycling hormones come back postpartum, we would love to see you there. Or if you never struggled with hormonal issues before, but now you're noticing that like your moods or your energy or your periods postpartum are just more unstable than usual, we have help for that circumstance and situation too. And so we want to provide that.
Yeah, we ran this course before, and the reason that we are doing it again is because it was so well received and the women walked away with so many tangible things for them to do, so much information, encouragement, and really a way forward. And we were like, dang, more women need the opportunity for that as well. And so we're super stoked to be able to run that class again. It's August 23rd. You can sign up in the show note. There's a link in there. And we're super excited to see you there.
Yeah, we will. All right, ladies, see you there. And we'll be listening. You'll be listening again to us this time next week.
Bye.